you got your copies of God's Word, turn to Matthew's version of the events that unfold on this day. And Shane, thank you very much. I tell you what, if you want to appreciate what Shane does, just take a guitar when it's about 40 degrees and your fingers, my fingers can't even turn a page right now. Take your guitar and try to press those chords and play that. That's impressive. I appreciate you doing that, Shane. So as Benny said, we've been walking through the events of Holy Week that unfold before us. And we've had the wonderful opportunity to worship together throughout this week. To put today, to put this morning in context, I want to back up to where when we departed on Good Friday. On Good Friday, at the conclusion of that service, our pastor told us that they took the body of Jesus and they laid it in a new tomb. And they rolled a great rock in front of it. And to set up Matthew 28, let me just read what Matthew says took place at the conclusion on Good Friday. It says, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate. He asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away." Then interesting, Matthew just inserts this statement. He says, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there." They were sitting opposite the tomb. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there watching them take the body of Jesus and lay him in the tomb. Matthew also tells us that the next day, that's the day of preparation, the chief priests, the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. They said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first.' Pilate says to them, 'You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can.' So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard." And then we come to Matthew 28 on this resurrection Sunday morning to the dawn of the first day. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." So they go back to see the tomb. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me.' While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this is the story which has been spread among the Jews to this day." Well, it's an interesting statement that gets made of the women. Fear and great joy. What an interesting couplet would be used to describe the women as they left. As you read this story, there's a lot of fear that gets expressed out of Matthew's account that tells us that there was a lot of fear in the people, that really in two different groups. You have the fear in the guards. So here are the guards. They've been given a task that you really shouldn't be able to mess it up, right? Okay, we want you to go guard the tomb of a dead man. Okay, you really shouldn't mess that up. That should be an easy assignment to go and to take care of. And it's gone well to a certain degree so far. Their expectation would be that someone would come to get his body. That was what they were afraid would happen. The disciples would come to try to steal away the body of Jesus. And Matthew tells us that when the angel appears, that his appearance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. literally, they were paralyzed. The guards, upon seeing the angel, upon experiencing the angel that came down, they were literally terrified. They physically trembled, and they were terrified before the angel, and they became like dead men. They were incapable of moving. They were in shock. They were literally in shock for fear of this angel. And not only did their initial fear cause them to physically tremble and to become like dead men, but at some point, and I would guess that it was when the angel left, at some point they were actually able to get up, and they get up and some of them go back to their authorities. Some of them, I would suggest, now from fear of the angel now to fear of man. They're afraid of their authorities. They failed in this task that you really shouldn't be able to fail in. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of, you know, did this, what just happened? No one's going to believe us if we actually tell them what just happened. So they are captivated by their fears. Fears of the angel, fears of man, fears of their authority. But not only were they captivated by their fear, but out of their fear, and I would suggest, and their greed, they then go tell a lie. They then take a sufficient sum of money. We're not told how much, just sufficient. Sufficient for what? Sufficient to declare that you didn't see what you saw. Sufficient to declare that the thing that you never thought you'd ever see in your life, an angel come down from heaven and the body of Jesus be raised from the dead. Sufficient for you to lie about that to people. Hoping upon hope that this one who rose from the dead wouldn't reveal himself to anyone, wouldn't prove you out to be the liar and the greedy person that you are. But not just the fear of the guards, but the women are afraid. Notice as the women come to the tomb that it says that the angel turns to the women and tells them, do not be afraid. That they come and they're afraid. They see the fear as well. Now, I'm going to tell you my first inclination when I read about the fear of the women as it relates to the angels, I would assume that was probably more of a reverent fear. Maybe this is more like the fear of the Lord, the reverent fear of the Lord. It's not. Let me save you some time and study. It's not. It's the same word used to describe the fear of the guards. So the fear of the guards who were trembling and who could not move, they were literally paralyzed. This is the same word to describe the fear of the women. When the women look at this and when they see the angel, they were afraid. As a matter of fact, Mark 16 tells us that the women fled the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, for they were afraid. Well, there's two things that I want to point out about, even though the women experienced the same fear as the guards did, there's two things I want to point out to you this morning that I think are pretty interesting that jump off of these pages. The first one is this. The angel never told the guards, do not be afraid. The angel never said to the guards, do not be afraid, because the guards had every reason to fear. So the angel doesn't give any words of hope, any words of reassurance, nothing. As a matter of fact, you could look, if you'll go through your Bible, you can look and you can see the many times that there's an angelic appearance. And almost without exception, there are exceptions, and this is one, but almost without exception, almost every time an angel appears, the angel will say, do not be afraid. You remember Zechariah, when you talk about Zechariah in the temple and he encounters the angels, it says he was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him. And the angel says to him, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So when Zechariah encountered the angel says, do not be afraid. When Mary encounters the angel, Mary the mother of Jesus, the angel says to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. Joseph, even in a dream, is told by the angel not to fear. You remember the shepherds who are out keeping watch. And at the advent of Jesus, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It almost seems like that any time an angel appears, they're instructed to say, do not be afraid. OK, Okay? Well, I'm guessing, and this is a guess, I don't think there's an angel book somewhere in heaven that says, if you ever get sent down to earth, the first thing you say is, do not be afraid. I think angels say, do not be afraid, because we can't fathom angels. If we were to actually experience an angel, not only in their power and in their majesty, but in their holiness, if we were to actually experience an angel, then they would say to us, do not be afraid. But the angel does not say that to the guards. You see, the statement, do not be afraid, isn't necessarily a correction. It's not necessarily a rebuke. It's not, you shouldn't be afraid, do not be afraid. Of course, man, it would be afraid. Of course, there would be fear in man to experience something so much greater, so much bigger, be overwhelmed at something that they experience in their life. You see, the statement, do not be afraid, it's a statement revealing the favor of the Lord. It's a statement that comes from the grace of God. Because what is it then that he can say to us, those his chosen servants? He can say to Mary or to Joseph. He can say to the shepherds out in the field. He can say to the women here, you have the favor of the Lord upon you. It's going to be okay. But for the guards, it's not going to be okay. You should fear. Now, prayerfully, hopefully, that very real fear will be used by God to draw you unto him. That would be the hope in the prayer. But apart from that, that's true, legitimate fear, which pales in comparison to the coming judgment. That fear of an angel now will pale in comparison to the fear of the pending judgment before the Lord. The second thing I would point out to you is that not only did the guards not get told, do not be afraid, but they didn't get what the women got. The women, it says, that they departed the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Okay, now remember, that fear is that trembling fear. Okay, they were afraid, but they had fear and great joy. The guards just left with fear. They didn't leave with the great joy. Well, where does the great joy come from? Well, the great joy comes from truth. And there's only great joy found in truth. The world has no great joy to offer, but the great joy comes from the truth that the angel, the messenger of the Lord communicates. Look at what the angel actually said to them. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. You saw him crucified. You two ladies, you saw him placed in this tomb. You saw them put his dead body in this very tomb right here. The angel says, I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. You saw them lay him there. Now come, you look and see the place. He is not there anymore. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Can you imagine that? I mean, that what gives you great joy? The one you saw crucified, the one you saw laid in that tomb is not there. That tomb is empty. Not only has he risen from that tomb, has he risen from the dead, but you're going to see him. He is alive, and you are going to see him yet again. The angel declares, see, I have told you. So that good news that they receive from the angel gives them great joy. Now that should sound familiar to you. Good news of great joy. Not only is the good news of great joy that the angel shared with them, remember back when the angels appeared to the shepherds, I read it just a minute ago, and said, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. The advent of Jesus is good news of great joy. The resurrection of Jesus is good news of great joy. And interestingly, this great joy that they experience, now they serve a risen Savior, the truth of the empty tomb, the promise that you're about to see Jesus again, you know what it didn't do? It didn't remove their fear. I would have thought it would have. I would have thought the declaration of truth and them seeing the empty tomb would remove their fear. And you go, well, now, Bruce, wait a second. How do you know that? Because after the angel tells them this good news of great joy, they leave with what? With fear. When they leave the empty tomb, they leave with fear. And as they go on their way, they see Jesus himself. And what's the first thing that Jesus says to them? Greetings. Do not be afraid. You see, the truth of the situation that the angel pointed out to them in the empty tomb, the evidence even of that, did not get rid of their fear. Now, before any of us condemn the women for not overcoming fear when they're told not to be afraid, you might not have to confess this, but I would. I still live with that dichotomy. I still live with that seeming contradiction, fear and yet great joy. I've been told the truth. Holy Spirit's allowed me to understand the good news of the gospel and the reality of a risen Savior, and the power of the resurrection is more powerful than anything in my life, but I could not stand before you and say, and therefore I never have any fear. And therefore there's not any fear that would reside in me. Oh, I've read the passage. I know that it says, do not be anxious for anything, and I've been anxious about being anxious. I've been concerned about, I have fear. And I know I'm not supposed to have fear, but God, I really, really, really do have fear. Would you remove that fear from me? When I was a little boy, my father, who's gone home to be with the Lord, my father was an engineer. He was an engineer by birth, he was an engineer by education, and he was an engineer by trade, okay? So he was an engineer, okay? If you look up engineer in the encyclopedia, his picture is right there with graph paper. So my dad, I like to say that he lovingly engineered me. He was a loving father, but he lovingly engineered me. So when I was afraid, I always knew what my dad would do to keep me from being afraid. Being an engineer, he would tell me factually why it was illogical to be afraid. It never worked, okay? Now, he's right. He's a brilliant man. So I can remember when I was a little boy, we were in Huntsville and multiple tornadoes came. It was in the mid-early 70s and multiple tornadoes came through Huntsville. It was just a terrible, terrible night. One of the worst nights of tornadoes really across our country. Multiple tornadoes come through. We end up, my brother and two sisters and myself are in a little bitty bathroom all tucked under. I'm literally underneath the toilet. And you go, how do you do that? I fit underneath behind the toilet, okay? And we've got mattresses in the bathroom because, you know, and my dad is telling me, explaining to me how tornadoes develop, okay? And the percentage chance of the predictability of a tornado around the world actually hitting our house, okay? It was a wonderfully logical declaration that he gave to me that night while I was tucked behind the underneath the toilet. All that mattered to me was that I could still see my dad. And honestly, it really didn't matter what he was saying, just his presence. That's what helped my fear, was just his presence. Then you grow up, or you're supposed to. You grow up, and then you have kids, and then they get scared, and then you try to explain to them why they shouldn't be afraid, and it doesn't work on them either. And the only thing that stills their fear is your presence. And you know what you know as a dad? You're not in control. They're finding some level of peace in your presence, and you can't deliver. Now you have fear. Okay, this is like, I feel like I need to go see a counselor now. Now you have fear as a dad, but the presence of the Lord is what casts out our fear. So when when the women then come to Jesus, now they literally meet Jesus. It's his presence with them, his promise to be with them and his presence with them. Deuteronomy says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What is it that keeps me from fearing? The presence of the Lord. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 41, fear not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand. Even just a few nights earlier, what did Jesus tell the disciples? These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But you know, the purpose of the angels communicating to the women, the truth, the good news of great joy, the purpose of Jesus meeting the women and saying greetings, do not be afraid, and expressing his presence to them. The purpose of that is not simply so that you won't be afraid. You see, it wasn't the mission of the angels. It wasn't the mission of even the Lord to keep you from being afraid. That was not the purpose. It's a blessing, but that's not the purpose. The angels, when they told the women not to be afraid, it was because they had something they needed the women to do. When Jesus told the women not to be afraid, it was because Jesus had something he needed the women to do. When Jesus tells us not to be afraid, it's not just so that we won't be afraid. It's because he has something that he wants us to do. The angel said, "Come and see the empty tomb. Do not be afraid. Come and see the empty tomb. He's risen. He's not here." But what was it the angels had for the women to do? "Now go and tell. Go and tell the disciples." What did Jesus say to the women? "Do not be afraid. Greetings. Do not be afraid. But go and tell the disciples." What? "Go and tell the disciples that that tomb is empty. Go and tell the disciples that I rose from the grave exactly the way that I said. Go and tell others." So as God would come before us this morning, and he would say to us, "Come and see, come and worship, come and see the empty tomb. Proclaim the truth that that tomb is empty. Proclaim the truth that that we serve a risen Savior." Now, go and tell. Go and tell the world. Go and tell your family. Go and tell your neighbor. Go and tell your friend, as our pastor, Pastor Reeder, has been putting before us in this year, to be an Andrew. Andrew is one who invited others to come and see Jesus. Once he came and saw and engaged with Jesus, then he said to others, "Come and see. Come and see the Savior." Now, go and tell. Go and tell others about the Lord. And you can be guarantee that just as we're commanded to go and tell the truth of the gospel to people, that you know what can happen when we do that? Fear. Here comes fear again. Sometimes a family member, a friend, sometimes a coworker, especially when we've neglected to tell them about Jesus for some period of time, and now all of a sudden we're going to insert Jesus into the conversation. Well, then fear comes again. And I'm reminded of what the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision. "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent." Why? "For I am with you." I always remind myself of that when I feel that fear of sharing Christ with someone else. Do not be afraid, Bruce. Go on speaking. Why? "Because I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So just in terms of application for us, what would we take away from an Easter sunrise service, the reality of the empty tomb this morning, the truth declared to us? Well, acknowledge that you're afraid. Acknowledge your fear before the Lord. Acknowledge whatever. We live in a lost and broken and messed up world, and it can get really, really, really scary. And there can be fear of all from all sides. We can be afraid of what the world might do to us. We can be afraid of what experiences we might have to suffer through. We can even be afraid that we'll let the Lord down. We can be afraid of the world, and we can be afraid of the Lord. Fear, and Satan just wants to cause that fear to grow in us. And yet, praise the Lord, by grace, God says to his children, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Here's the truth. Come and see. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen from the dead. The scriptures declare it. History declares it. Our changed lives declare it." Don't be fearful to share that with other people, to tell them, "Come and see the Lord. Come and see the empty tomb. Come and hear the good news of great joy, and then let's go and tell." I would encourage you, walk away from Easter Sunday morning with one definitive application. Go and tell. Go and tell. So that you walk away with fear, sure. But you walk away with fear and with great joy. And that's the great joy that we share with others. Let's pray. Lord, Father, I do thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit using truth in our heart and minds. Lord, thank you for opening our hearts and minds to understand, to receive, and to embrace truth before you and before all men. Lord, we acknowledge that that we have fear of you, Lord, fear of holiness. We have fear of man. We have fear of the world. Lord, we lay that before you, and we are ask that your presence would cast out that fear from us, that your presence would give us your peace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to us as our helper, as our comforter, as our guide. Lord, I ask that as you have, by your Holy Spirit, drawn us to you to come and see, as you have, by your Holy Spirit, revealed the good news of great joy to us, Lord, would you allow us and would you instruct us and would you lead us, would you compel us to go and tell others, go and tell them that they too can come and see you. Lord, we worship you this day, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.